Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Taxes and Assessment Period Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 25, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in United States v. Home Concrete and Supply, LLC, a case involving a dispute over the language of certain tax code provisions and regulations. Generally, if the IRS believes that a taxpayer's return has understated the amount of tax owed, the IRS has 3 years to assess the additional tax. The tax code, however, extends that three-year period to 6 years when the taxpayer improperly omits from gross income a sum that exceeds 25% of the gross income that the taxpayer stated on the return. The question here was whether an understatement of gross income that occurred when a taxpayer overstated the basis in sold property should count as an omission from the gross income that triggers the extended three-year assessment period. Court held by a vote of 5-4 that the understatement of gross income does not trigger the extended six-year assessment period. Justice Breyer delivered the majority opinion of the court, with the exception of Part 4C. The Chief Justice and Justices Alito and Thomas joined the opinion in full, while Justice Scalia joined the opinion in all except Part 4C. Justice Scalia also filed an opinion concurring in part and concurring in the judgment. Justice Kennedy filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justices Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan. To discuss the case, we have Kristen Hickman, who is a professor of law at the University of Minnesota Law School. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Hickman.
On April 25th, the Supreme Court handed down its decision in United States versus Home Concrete and Supply, LLC. First and foremost, much like last term's Mayo Foundation case, the Home Concrete case concerned the meaning of the Internal Revenue Code. Section 6501A of the code generally requires the IRS to assess a tax deficiency within 3 years after a taxpayer files its return. Section 6501E, in turn, extends that limitations period from 3 years to 6 years if the taxpayer omits from gross income an amount properly includable therein and certain other requirements are met. The statutory question at issue in Home Concrete was whether an overstatement of asset basis and the corresponding understatement of gain on the disposition of that asset represents an omission of an amount from gross income that extends the limitations period for assessing a deficiency from 3 years to 6 years. The government claimed that an overstatement of asset basis was an omission that extended the limitations period. In 1958, in a case called Colony, Inc. v. Commissioner, the Supreme Court had addressed the same issue regarding a predecessor provision and concluded that basis overstatements were not omissions. In Home Concrete, in a 5-4 decision, with Justice Breyer writing for the majority, the court held that its decision in Colony determined the outcome of the case and that Section 6501E thus does not apply to an overstatement of basis. The dissent, written by Justice Kennedy, contended that Colony did not consider 1954 amendments to Section 6501E, that Colony thus did not control the outcome in Home Concrete, and that there was room for the Treasury Department to interpret the new provision in the manner that it did. In short, the majority and dissenting opinions offer relatively straightforward presentations of two competing interpretations of Section 6501E, with the taxpayer's interpretation prevailing. As in the Mayo Foundation case, however, the Home Concrete case raised several other issues concerning the circumstances surrounding Treasury's adoption of the temporary and final regulations interpreting Section 6501E. This is where the opinions in Home Concrete are particularly interesting, both for what they say and for what they do not. First, let's talk about the issue the Home Concrete opinions address, and that's the Brand X issue. In 2005, in National Cable and Telecommunications Association versus Brand X Internet Services, the Supreme Court held that a Federal Circuit Court decision construing ambiguous statutory language would not preclude an administering agency from claiming Chevron deference for a contrary interpretation adopted later using APA notice and comment rulemaking procedures. In Home Concrete, the court was faced with a Treasury regulation construing Section 6501E in a manner that was arguably inconsistent with the Supreme Court's decision in the Colony case, and the court had never addressed whether its reasoning in Brand X, allowing agencies to reject Federal Circuit Court outcomes through notice and comment rulemaking, extended to Supreme Court opinions as well. In discussing the Brand X issue, the court in Home Concrete divided somewhat differently than the 5-4 split over the outcome. Justice Breyer, joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Thomas and Alito, spoke at some length regarding the Brand X question. For this plurality of the court, the outcome of Home Concrete was determined at Chevron Step 1. Congress's intent with Section 6501E was clear at the time of Colony and continues to be clear now, at least in the Chevron sense of what it means for Congress's intent to be clear. Brand X only authorized an agency to adopt regulations contrary to a judicial decision when a statute's silence or ambiguity represents a congressional delegation of gap-filling authority to the agency. As a result, there was no need to resolve whether the court ought to extend Brand X to Supreme Court decisions, although the plurality opinion seemed open to the idea. The four dissenters, led by Justice Kennedy, followed a different path to get to essentially the same place. By concluding that Colony did not apply at all, the dissenters were able to find Section 6501E ambiguous and resolve the case at Chevron Step 2 without actually deciding whether Brand X extends to Supreme Court decisions. Nevertheless, the dissenting opinion speaks of a continuing dialogue among the three branches of government on questions of statutory interpretation and application, thus suggesting the theoretical possibility of extending Brand X. Meanwhile, Justice Scalia, writing alone in concurrence, continued his outright rejection of what he called the ugly and improbable structure created by Meade and Brand X. In other words, on the Brand X question, eight justices seem at least open to the idea that an administering agency could adopt an interpretation contrary to a Supreme Court decision. And the court offered plenty of rhetoric for administrative law aficionados to chew on. But the court went no further toward actually resolving the applicability of Brand X to its own opinions. Meanwhile, the court completely avoided what to some of us was the elephant in the room. And here, to fully appreciate the implications of Home Concrete, more background of the case is necessary. Irrespective of the Supreme Court's 1958 Colony decision, the government several years ago initially asserted its contemporary interpretation of Section 6501E as a litigating position. After two federal circuit courts cited Colony in rejecting the government's interpretation and relying on Brand X, Treasury issued regulations containing its interpretation, beginning with legally binding temporary regulations in 2009 that Treasury later finalized in December 2010. In court, the government claimed Chevron deference first for its temporary regulations and later for the final ones. But in May 2010, in Intermountain Insurance Service of Vail, LLC versus Commissioner, the United States Tax Court invalidated Treasury's 2009 temporary regulation. Like the Supreme Court later in Home Concrete, the majority of the tax court did so on the ground that Colony controlled the interpretation of Section 6501E, and thus that the meaning of the statute was plain for purposes of Chevron Step 1. But Judges Halpern and Holmes of the tax court, writing in concurrence, would have rejected the temporary regulation as procedurally invalid under the Administrative Procedure Act for lack of notice and comment. The APA contemplates a particular procedural sequence for agencies adopting regulations that carry legal force, like those at issue in the Home Concrete case as well as the Mayo case before it. Specifically, APA Section 553 anticipates that regulated parties will receive notice of proposed agency rules and have the opportunity to submit comments before finding themselves legally bound by those rules. In adopting the regulation at issue in the Mayo Foundation case, Treasury followed that procedural sequence. And in extending Chevron deference to the regulation, the Mayo Court particularly acknowledged Treasury's use of notice and comment rulemaking. In promulgating the regulation at issue in Home Concrete, however, again, Treasury employed an alternative procedural sequence. Specifically, Treasury issued temporary, legally binding regulations simultaneously with its notice of proposed rulemaking requesting comments. In other words, Treasury inverted the procedural sequence contemplated by the APA, providing the public with the opportunity to comment only after they were already legally bound. The general legal consensus holds that this alternative procedural sequence, known in administrative law circles as interim final rulemaking, violates the Administrative Procedure Act unless the agency can validly claim an exception from the procedural requirements of APA Section 553. After initially claiming that its Section 6501E regulations were exempt from notice and comment as interpretive rules, The government has largely shifted its position to claim that Section 7805E of the Internal Revenue Code authorizes its use of temporary regulations generally. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court has never addressed the legality of or the remedy for interim final rulemaking, nor has the court considered whether it ought to extend either Brand X or Chevron deference to otherwise legally binding regulations adopted through interim final rulemaking. In considering the validity of Treasury's regulation interpreting Section 6501E, the Federal Circuit courts divided over the implications of Treasury's procedures. The Seventh Circuit in the Beard case sided with the government at Chevron Step 1, but went on to suggest that Chevron deference was appropriate for temporary Treasury regulations as well. The Federal Circuit and the D.C. Circuit both decided that Section 6501E was ambiguous, deferred to Treasury at Chevron Step 2, and in so doing contended that the fact that Treasury offered an opportunity for public comment in finalizing its regulations in effect cured any procedural flaws in the temporary ones and rendered the taxpayers' APA procedural challenge moot. But the Fifth Circuit in the Burks case, while siding with the taxpayer at Chevron Step 1, chastised Treasury for issuing temporary regulations with only post-promulgation notice and comment, and suggested that such regulations might, as a result, be ineligible for Chevron deference. The Burks Court was quite adamant that allowing public comment only after issuing legally binding regulations was not a generally acceptable practice. These issues were fully briefed before the Supreme Court in Home Concrete, but none of the justices' opinions addressed these procedural questions at all. So where does that leave us? Hundreds of Treasury regulations on the books were issued initially in temporary but legally binding form, with only post-promulgation notice and comment. While three circuits to varying degrees signaled their acceptance of the practice, the Fifth Circuit has strongly suggested its disapproval, as have tax court judges Halpern and Holmes. Given the disagreement, it seems likely to me that taxpayers are going to continue challenging Treasury regulations with temporary origins on APA procedural grounds and with potentially mixed results. So what happens if one or two circuits invalidate temporary Treasury regulations on these grounds, even as other circuits do not? We'll have to wait and see, but it sounds to me like a recipe for systematic upheaval. So in some sense, what the Supreme Court chose not to say in Home Concrete may end up being more significant than what it said.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.